Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why shut, won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Yes, that's I, Karen Cataline. So happy to be with you with, oh my goodness, a whole slew of new equipment. In fact, my volume is so loud it's blowing me out here, so I have to turn it down a little bit in my headphones. Nonetheless, I get the fancy stuff going here. Karen Cataline, and this is Spouting Off. Number 76 is the show number, and yes, we are broadcasting live July 23rd. And there is so much going on. If you'd like to join me in this first segment, and we're going to be taking a couple more breaks in the near future because we are actively looking for commercial support here. So, by the way, if you'd like to cut a commercial and have your audience hear about your product or service, we will be entertaining that shortly because Spouting Off is growing and we're going to have more commercial time and more time for you to hear about some great sponsors. If you'd like to join the program, it's 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I promote the show, which I love to do on Facebook and Twitter and wherever else, to let you know who the guest is going to be, because I generally only have one guest because I like to spout off at the beginning of the show. Sometimes it's fun to change it up, but and I promoed that I wanted to talk about racism, which I always enjoy talking about because it's such a huge issue, and really it's the only attack that the left really has. All week long we heard about and I talked about with people all around the country and as a guest on talk radio about the squad. They like being called the squad. I took a little heat from somebody who told me I couldn't think of squad, so I said idiots. And she actually called me after the program from another location and gave me a hard time about calling them idiots. I don't know if she ever really gave or might have given them a hard time for talking about for being anti-American and anti-Israel, but God forbid a conservative should call someone an idiot. Generally, that is not my style, I got to tell you. And so that was a point well taken. It's just that I couldn't think of squad. We're always living in this PR world. Anyway, I was going to talk all about that. And then we had breaking news. And so we're going to have to push that to the back burner. A little tease about who I have on in, roughly about 25 after the hour. We are going to talk to one of my favorite people. He is a nationally known, but happens to be local here in Colorado. Tom Tancredo. Tom Tancredo, God love him. He was talking about immigration before anybody was talking about immigration. And he took more heat and more grief. Well, except for the current president, who I think he's got the what do you call it? And I haven't even had anything to drink this morning. He's got the record on the most grief and aggravation that he's taken from the left. Anyway, what is breaking right now is that Boris Johnson, everybody has a shorthand, everybody has a name. And so now Boris Johnson, who is the new Prime Minister of Britain, is going by The Dude. Don't you love that? I think that's hilarious. The Dude. Somehow, I think he's been influenced by the great United States of America. What is so important, and I'm not going to get into huge detail here, but what is so very important is that the dude, Boris Johnson, is absolutely, unequivocally for Brexit. He says what he wants to do is deliver Brexit, which obviously the people who said they were for Brexit were not, just like a lot of conservatives who said they were for securing our borders were not. So Boris Johnson says he is for Brexit, uniting the country, defeating Corbyn, not even sure what that is, and energizing the country and uniting the country. That's what he wants to do. And what that boils down to is he's got an anti-globalist agenda. And if anybody listening does not think that the influence and support from Donald Trump and the fact that Donald Trump, who was really much more well-received in Britain when he made that visit than anybody gave him credit for. Of course, they never give him credit for anything. Well, you got another thing coming, because indeed he was a hit in Britain, particularly with the everyday people, just like in the United States of America, who realized that he's not a politician. Huh, go figure. He's not a politician. And even when he messes up, he reminds people that he's not a politician. Nonetheless, I have high hopes for Boris Johnson, and it doesn't escape me, really, that when Obama was in office, suddenly there was a sweep of socialists that came into power during the Obama years. Even the Pope, who is still there, is a socialist, the socialist Pope. Now, we used to think popes were elected for a lifetime until his predecessor, who seemed to have gotten forced out, claiming that he had health problems. I thought it was interesting that he's still alive. God love him. That's a pun. He's still alive, and apparently he wasn't as ill as one believes. I am not the only one, and I'm not a heavy-duty conspiracy theorist, but I'm not the only one who wonders whether Obama and his intruding team didn't have something to do with that. And it isn't Obama. It's all the hard leftists who've been waiting for 30, 40, 50 years for a moment when they could have a pliable pro-socialist president. Personally, I didn't think we'd ever survive that. And sure enough, God wasn't done with us yet. I'm going to take a diversion here. I've got two more minutes, so I'm going to ask you what you think about the name of my new, should I give it away, blog post, or possibly even op-ed, and I just published one yesterday about the recalls in Oregon and Colorado. But I'd like to write something about how, no matter what you conceive God to be, God, pretty much everybody who are people of the book, people who have any sort of belief system in God, again, whatever you conceive God to be, gives us free will. So most of the major religions say that God, quote, gives us, he made us with free will. And why did he do that? Because otherwise we'd be just slaves. And so I've been saying for a long time, and I'd hope that it catches on, because it's one of the cornerstones of what I believe. It's one of the cornerstones, I think, of our great country and the Constitution. God gave us free will. We should never expect less from our government. God gave us free will. We should never expect less from our government. And therein lies the arguments and the fights between the current left and the current right today. The left has taken over the Democrat Party. And as David Horowitz says more beautifully than I could, inside every, quote, progressive is a totalitarian screaming to get out. And that's really where the fight is. And so think about that. Write me, call me at my website, or just email me at Karen@KarenCataline.com. We're going to take our first break, and we get back. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Mueller hearings, which are tomorrow. If you have some thoughts about that, what do you think is going to happen there? I have a few thoughts myself. So we're going to take a break. This is Spouting Off. If you'd like to spout off too, give us a call at 888-627-6008. This is Karen Cataline, and we'll be right back.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous. It's confidential. And you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
We're back. This is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off here at BBS Radio Station 1. So I'm looking at some of the discussions here about what Robert Mueller is going to testify tomorrow about. If you're interested and you're listening live, Robert Mueller will be testifying live. You can watch it, and it looks like it's going to be 8:30 Eastern, so it'll be pretty early for us on the west part of the country, 6:30 Mountain, even 5:30, and believe it or not, I get up that early. Whether I want to or not, I'm up at 5 a.m., go figure. So I'll probably be watching and looking to see. Actually, I don't expect much, but I pulled up this article from Vox, which is a reliably leftist internet rag, an internet rag, go figure. And here is what it says. The reason I thought it was important to just print this off and look at it is that the arrogance and the condescension that the left has for people that they claim to want to help and care for is always fascinating and amusing to me. So here we have Vox, that is always leftist, and the way that they posted this article was how to watch the Robert Mueller testimony and what you should, how you should watch it is what I think it said. This was the heading. How you should listen, how you should watch. And again, right before the break, this is the bottom line of what separates the men from the boys as far as the left and the right are concerned. No matter how much the left in the 60s and the 70s said, do your own thing, be an individualist, forge your own trail, you know what? They never believed in any of that, because today we have the left on steroids, and they seem to believe only in collectivist thought. They don't tolerate or accept anything that doesn't comport with what they think their notion of their moral compass should be. Never mind that their moral compass never includes them being accountable to a higher power, a God, anything like that. They're not accountable. but you need to be accountable to them. So that's why you get articles like this, how to watch the Robert Mueller hearings and what we should look out for. Mueller's testimony, they say, may not reveal new bombshells. So why is he testifying? However, it will at the very least provide a high-profile setting for him to restate the findings in his report, which is hilarious. He's going to restate the findings that there was nothing. There was nothing, nothing. Everything that the left has been repeating is wishful thinking on their part because there was no collusion. In fact, what I hope happens is that Jim Jordan, one of the better questioners on the House Judiciary Committee, will ask Robert Mueller, and I think he'll be ready for it because Jim Jordan already said he was going to do this. I can't wait to hear the answer for this. He's going to ask Mueller, why is it that you allowed an investigation to go on for more than 2 years, spent $40 million with a host of 16 or 17 Democrat hacks, and you knew they had no grounds to be investigating in the first place? They were a crime searching. They were a suspect searching for a crime, as it's known. A suspect searching for a crime. And there's so many lies. You probably know plenty of them. Comey assured Trump that he wasn't a target. He wasn't under investigation, which was a flat out lie, because the whole reason for this so-called Russia investigation was to try to get Trump on something. Anything. And here this Vox article just repeats the same lies over and over again. The part that really amuses me the most is here in this article. It says Mueller's factual findings on Trump efforts to impede the investigation. Well, Trump didn't impede the investigation, and the investigation turned up nothing. So I have had debates. It's the funniest thing. I get called to do these debates with the same liberal leftist who claims to be an independent. He's a leftist from San Diego. And so whenever this host is on in Vancouver, he calls me because he knows that I have great admiration for Donald Trump and very unabashed about that. And this guy doesn't want to hear about it. And he tends to spout off the company line. What's so funny about this to me is that he just defended and defended and defended. He's not an attorney, but he defended the fact that there was obstruction, that there was very definitely obstruction because Trump thought about firing Comey. No, Trump did fire Comey and may have thought about firing Mueller. See, now you can be impeached and supposedly convicted for thinking something, not doing it. I was driving down the street this morning realizing how much the Democrats were dying for Trump to fire Mueller. They were dying to have him be fired. And he didn't take the bait, because you know that if they were hammering Trump for firing Comey, which their very own person, Rod Rosenstein, recommended, because Comey lied multitude of times, and they're already hammering him for firing Comey, and it was, as was his right to fire Comey. Comey was Trump's employ. So I don't know if you remember how much the Democrats were already telegraphing their reaction to Trump firing Mueller. I just thought that was hilarious. If the Democrats want Trump to fire Mueller, Trump is smart enough not to do it. And plus, you know, they would have screamed bloody murder that he was obstructing justice and obstructing the investigation, but they were dying for him to do it. Why? Because they had nothing else. They had nothing. Nothing. They had nothing. So this ought to be fun. I encourage everyone to break out the popcorn. I personally like the sweet and salty kind. The kind, it's there's like a Orville Redenbacher's sweet and salty popcorn. Popcorn in the morning is not bad. Just don't have it with coffee. But break out the popcorn tomorrow and then watch the Democrats twisting themselves into pretzels, trying to make ominous that which is not ominous, while covering up and covering up and covering up that which is flat out facts that everybody knows. And that's what we've been seeing with the Democrats. It is a pattern. Whenever they start accusing their opponents of the most outrageous things, remember how you felt the first time you heard that Trump was colluding with Russia and you thought, what? What? How could that be? It just was out of, I'm about to make a pun, left field. It was out of left field. And all these things are. Why? Because that was part of their insurance policy. That's what we have conjectured, that it was part of the insurance policy to frame Trump for that which the left did. I hear a lot of talk show hosts who aren't willing to talk about motive, but I love talking about motive. I learned this phrase, cui bono, who benefits? Who benefits for the left to continue to kick a dead horse? They think they do, but I got news for you. I have never seen a bunch of more misguided politicians in my life. I really do think they live in the Washington bubble. They have absolutely no clue of what the everyday American thinks because they've been spending so much time trying to tell America what they think, trying to tell America how to think, just like that Vox silly article. I'm telling you, I think America thinks a whole lot different than what Washington insider politicians think. When we come back, I will be delighted to welcome the one and only, you're not going to want to miss this. This guy is great. Plus, he's funny. You're not going to want to miss Tom Tancredo. We're going to give him the floor to spout off here on Spouting Off, and we're going to hear from him right after this. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. And we're back. This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. And if you'd like to call in, we are still trying to get through to Tom Tancredo. He must be at the Italian buffet or something. And so if you'd like to join us, please, if you're listening right now and you'd like to join us, any comments about the first segment of our program, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008, and that's probably the number that we hope Tom Tancredo will speak, will call. Maybe he's just on the horn here. I'm going to kick back and talk a little bit about what I told you I was going to talk about. And that is this last kerfuffle having to do with these four ladies and Donald Trump. And whether or not, I know it's, I just haven't had my say regarding it. But I think that Donald Trump won this one. I really do. What I'm referring to is the Twitter war that Donald Trump got into with AOC and her cohorts. It is amazing, isn't it, the way in which the left always works things around in order to feel like a victim, right? They always feel like a victim. And if they are the perpetrator, they're going to go out of their way to frame themselves as a victim anyway. So Ilhan Omar has been nothing but hateful. By the left standards, she would have lost her job, lost everything, if a Republican would have said anything about any of their favored groups, like what Ilhan Omar said. But since she was maligning Jews, maligning Israel, and maligning America, the United States of America, that was perfectly okay. But yet, and it's pure bigotry. That's all it is. And she's the hater. She's the bigot. And yet when Twitter, when Donald Trump came after her, suddenly she's the victim because he said something. What bothers me is the number of people, the number of Republicans who were still critical of Trump. I guess they think that that he's going to get some kind of brownie points for letting it pass. I don't think he will ever get any brownie points for letting it pass. Not ever. And so here we are. Donald Trump never just takes it. He always is going to punch back. And in this case, I'm so glad he did. Now, Doug, do we still, I'm trying to find my little screen here. Hold on while I try to find my screen to see whether or not we have Tom Tancredo. Tom Tancredo must be riding his motorcycle and giving us the heave-ho. That's what I think. Tom, what's with you, Tom? But anyway, we're going to just move on. And so we will have open lines here on the show. Here's what I wanted to talk about. I know I'm a little bit, this is the show must go on time. The show must go on. What I wanted to say was that we have a recall going on in Colorado. And I wrote about it in an op-ed that just came out in the Western Journal. So it's less than 24 hours old right now. And if you'd like to pull it up, you can either pull it up at my website at KarenKataline.com or at Western Journal. Oh, good. We're just pushing 1,000 hits on the piece, or I guess they're not hits. They're more like reactions is, I guess, the way they count them. But it's a good thing to view it there, because that's sort of the name of the game. You write an op-ed piece, and then you hope that more and more people will read it and that there are a lot of hits on that site. So it is westernjournal.com. And here's what the gist of the piece is. Now that I have extra time, I can go into this. I didn't have the time really to talk about it. And that is full disclosure. And I didn't make that in the article, but I'm doing it here. And I will do it from here on in. I didn't think it was necessary since I am a commentator and not a reporter. But full disclosure, I am the spokesperson for Dismiss Polis, which is the movement to recall Governor Jared Polis of Colorado. What I thought was interesting and what would be important for a national audience, of which this is that Oregon, out of some simpatico in Colorado and encouragement, is once again, they've tried it once before, is trying to recall their governor, Kate Brown. In that case, it was the GOP that filed the petition. In this case, it was a purely grassroots. It was purely a grassroots endeavor. And I find that especially interesting that as soon as it was known, as soon as the legislative session was starting to come to an end in Colorado, and some of the most egregious of issues were forced through the legislature in Colorado, I began to do a little research, and I think other people did too. I wasn't the only one. There were this governor, Governor Jared Polis, has pushed through over 400, has signed over 400 bills into law in Colorado. And we've really only talked about four or five of them in Colorado because they are so egregious and they're indicative of the rest. What makes these so horrible is a few things that they have in common. And that is that they are nationally backed. There are people backing these initiatives. They're like special interest groups, and huge amounts of money are behind these issues. What's even more suspicious and particularly disturbing is that the same reason that Oregonians are trying to recall their governor, and not all of them, but a whole bunch of these nationally backed issues, is the same reason that people in Colorado are doing so as well. There are a couple of issues that got forced down the throats of state residents, both in Oregon and in Colorado, almost identical. Maybe there were a couple of fits and changes here and there, but generally speaking, it was the same. Looks like we have a caller. I'm going to interrupt myself because I want to talk to the caller and see what the caller has to say. This is Karen Catalin, and you're on Spouting Off. What would you like to spout off about?
Hi, Karen.
Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
I can. Is this Tanya?
Yes, it is, Karen. Hi, how are you?
Hi. I am delighted to talk to you, and thank you for stepping in a pinch when you were a guest of my program not too terribly long ago, and you stay in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And what is on your mind today?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for everything that you do when you're submitting and publishing your op-eds, what you do on Spouting Off, because you are speaking for so many of us who don't have a voice. And you brought up racism. And, of course, there's the squad issue and the throwing around the term. And basically our media just constantly accusing President Trump, I should say the lying fake media, accusing our president of being of being a racist and his supporters of being racist. And the thing is, after a while, when you are a publisher, say, of the Aurora Sentinel, and you are constantly putting that out there, and the editor is constantly putting it out there, people start to think it's true, right? And
yeah.
There is a problem now. I wanted to share an incident with you that happened
please,
just on Friday with my husband and I. This is our first home, and we bought it in 15. We decided to settle in Aurora, Colorado, and here we are, working to get this place in shape because it was not in good shape. It didn't even have some flooring, and the outside was terrible. We've been working on landscape in the front, and it's for everybody to enjoy, and it's a lot of work. And every so often I pick up the trash that blows into the yard, and I pick up cigarette butts. Well, on Friday, my husband caught the culprit of who's been throwing cigarette butts down by our mailbox. And sadly, it was one of our postal carriers. And instead of apologizing, he was incensed because my husband caught him in the act, and he said, "Hey, pick that up." And my husband's a parent, and he's also been an instructor. And he basically talked to the person, you know, kind of caught off guard, and said, "Hey, pick it up. You're littering." First of all, they're not supposed to be smoking as a federal U.S. postal delivery worker when they're on the job. But this has been a repeat problem. Now, somebody who's a walkaway who gets mail from the GOP and from President Trump, I have to think that people see our mail. And they're thinking about this. And I hate to think we're being judged and being accused of being racist when we've been on the receiving end.
Okay, wait. Let me slow you down a little bit, Tanya, because I'm not following you now. We went from racism to smoking on the street. And why would they think you were a racist? Was the postal worker a person of color?
Yes. And because we appear white, and because we...
No. You identify as white. I don't know if you are white.
Well, no, I don't identify as white. I actually identify as Jewish before I identify as white, which I may know sounds strange, but it is my ethnicity. And I appear to look white. And that's what I feel like I was judged on, because this person, he didn't apologize.
Well, Jews are white usually, although they're black Jews. But anyway.
Yes, this is true. But he came back, and this is where it comes in. He came up to the door, he rang the doorbell, and he told my husband, "You need to treat me like a human being." Now, all my husband did was basically call out, "Hey, pick up your litter." And he told the man, "We've been working very hard on this." But it's the language that treat me like a human being. My husband did not treat him as anything but somebody who was littering. And that is a crime.
What else happened? Tanya, what else happened in that interchange? Did he call you a racist?
No, it's the language. It's the dehumanizing language. It's the what they keep calling dehumanizing language and dog whistles. And this is what they repeatedly put out there about President Trump uses a dog whistle. You know, he says these things. When he said, "Go back to your country," you know, they took it out of context. They call it a dog whistle, and they call it racist, even though it wasn't any of those things.
So, wait a sec. So, let me make sure I have this great. You're comparing the accusation of Donald Trump that he has dog whistles, and yet you were afraid that you had a dog whistle with an ethnic postal worker because you were critical of him for smoking and he threw his butt on the floor, right?
He can smoke all he wants. I'm an ex-smoker, but he littered on our property, and he's done this repeatedly because I've been.
Well, yeah, he littered,
and now
but,
I know.
But it's fascinating. So you're sort of drawing a juxtaposition there between what the left calls Trump, that it's a dog whistle, but yet I think
he used it.
You treated him like a human being, and you didn't patronize him and condescend to him simply because of whatever race he happens to be. Am I not right?
Exactly.
That's what I think is going on here.
But what makes me sad is that he is trained now that when he did something wrong and got caught, instead of being accountable, like, you know, we talk about free will, right? And accountability. God gave us free will. But there's accountability when God asked Adam, "Why'd you eat the apple?" And he said, "Well, he told me that he asked Eve, why'd you eat the apple?" And she said, "The snake told me." There's no accountability. Yeah. This man used the racist card that was not called for. That's what I'm getting at.
But did he accuse you of being a racist?
No, it was because he accused my husband of not treating him like a human being. And
but
that is a dog whistle term.
Unfortunately, I have to take a break. I really, really want you to call back again another time. We're going to have more time for callers, and other people can call and maybe comment on Tanya. Unfortunately, I have to let you go because we have to take another break because we're taking more breaks than we used to. We're not doing all just monologues anymore. But thank you so much for your call, Tanya. Thank you for listening. And we hope you call again, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. We are going to take a break and we will get into our last segment. Looks like we are not going to have Tom Tancredo with us. I'll have a chat with him later. You're listening and I can do that. You know, I'll say, Tom, you stood me up. But obviously he probably had something. He was probably on the border fighting something. I still love Tom Tancredo, even though I'll probably tease him about this one. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1, and we will be right back.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Well, this has been a wild show already, but I want to go back a little bit, partly to what Tanya said, and thank you, Tanya, for calling. We really appreciate callers around here because it wouldn't be talk radio if you didn't call in. If you'd like to join the program, let me get the number just so I don't give you the wrong number. It's 888-627-6008, and we have up until about 2:55 to take your calls if you would like to call in. I was struck by what Tanya said. I wanted to make a couple more comments, and then we'll kind of go back to the recalls if we can. And that is part of this whole notion of dog whistles is something that the left has been inculcating in all of us in the culture, not just accusing people of doing so. And what it does is bully us into always worrying how we might be perceived by an overly sensitive person. And I think that the way to really counteract that is to not play that game. It's very, very difficult to do, I have to say. It's very difficult. So I don't blame Tanya one iota for the way it was handled, because nowadays people are being trained and taught that we're supposed to look at a person's skin color first and foremost over everything. It's the exact opposite of what I was taught, and which I think is just plain more sensible and reasonable and noble, actually. It's infinitely more noble to fight against those inclinations to see someone as nothing more than their race. I mean, that was the biggest complaint that liberals had back when the civil rights movement was really, really important. Just like with everything the left touches, they've over-politicized it to the point where it means nothing. As a matter of fact, no, it's not that it doesn't mean anything. It's that it's gone the other direction. If you condescend to people because of the color of their skin or the group they belong to or some immutable quality, how they were born, something like that, then you are being, by the very definition, racist. And it bothers me that Republicans simply cannot articulate that in a positive way. They're bullied, bullied, bullied about being called racist constantly. And who is it who gets to decide about racism? Well, the people that are most obsessed with it, the people that are teaching people how to think only about race. In fact, they switch up depending on whether it's a group they like or they don't like. So they can mention everyone. Just look at this sometime in the Academy Awards or the Tonys or any of these award shows. The number of times they mention people of color and, oh, as a black person, as a person of color, whatever they want to call themselves, I don't care. But a person who does not want to be treated differently is a person who really understands, you know, the colorblind society is an important concept that the left has wholly and completely rejected. It's not that people always can live up to the idea of a colorblind society, but that's the goal. And today, the left has inculcated, has brainwashed people into believing that America is such a racist country, more outwardly racist than ever before, which just shows you how little they've got, that they have to double down and triple down and quadruple down on the accusations because they've got nothing. I hate having to qualify what I'm saying here. It's not that I think racism no longer exists, but I do think that condescending to a group of people because of their race and believing that they are all victims and they're victims of the white man and they're victims, 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 you play right into the hands of the leftist political ideologues. And if they had something to point to, they wouldn't have to make it up so darn often. Have you ever seen a time in which the ideological left, the perpetually aggrieved left, has ever said, you know, we've made progress? Have they ever once said, yeah, we're making a little progress here? From the time, from the horrible time of separate drinking fountains, because people really did look down on black people in the 50s before the civil rights movement, and to now, in which that whole notion is unthinkable. And now we've become, not we, I don't think we, but the left has tried to perpetrate on the rest of us that we be so ultra sensitive about race that we never stop paying attention to it. That plays right into their hands. It bothers me that there are not more outward, outspoken people in favor of the colorblind society. Why? Because it flies in the face of leftist ideological groupthink, which is that you can't have a colorblind society because everyone, by virtue of their skin color, is a victim or a perpetrator. Either you're a victim or you're a perpetrator. Now they've tried to do it with men and women. All women are victims. That's insane. Not only is it insane, but it does a terrible disservice to women, let alone men. Men are being set back on their heels. I was watching something last night. I watch fluff. Yes, I do. I admit it. Sometimes in order to empty my brain, I have to watch a little fluff. And I was watching the very end of The Bachelorette, and I didn't watch the whole season, but apparently there was a lot of hoopla, hoop-de-doo about some guy who was being a misogynist. Everybody has to jump on the misogynist bandwagon. And of course, The Bachelorette, in trying to improve their ratings as much as possible, and they do have huge ratings, they picked out a guy who was Christian, who, again, I didn't watch the whole beginning of it. I mean, I'm not that brain dead. Drama of putting this guy through the mill because he was kind of obnoxious, but the fact that he was Christian and he expected his prospective spouse to be pure as the driven snow, which is kind of naive and silly, considering that she's dating four guys at the same time and gets to have overnights with them. I mean, how ridiculous can you get? That's just plain silly, right? But they kept him on the hot seat. This was apparently a guy's tell-all. And just one right after another just raked this guy over the coals. And this guy wasn't really getting the message. I didn't see all of it. I couldn't stomach all of it. But the narrative, the left-wing narrative, that's one of the reasons why I love Live PD. Look at this, from politics to pop culture in a heartbeat. The reason I love Live PD is because Hollywood can't mess it up. And it doesn't always end in exactly the proper number of minutes. And you see what you see. The cops go where the crime is. They don't go into ultra-rich neighborhoods with gates because people have guns and guards and gates. Huh. Funny how that works, isn't it? But yet, in the high-crime areas where poor people and people in urban areas are victims of crime, there's a whole lot of crime. So Hollywood is just pushing this narrative and has been pushing this narrative for the longest, longest time. And Tanya, God love her, said, well, I didn't want to be thought of as a racist for telling someone to pick up his damn cigarette butt and stop littering and smoking on the job. And yet, rightfully so, she figured that that person thought she was a racist because she wouldn't do the same thing to a white person. No, in fact, she'd be more cautious about doing it with a black person simply because she doesn't want to be called a racist. And that, treating people different, that's what the left wants us to do. It's very circuitous. In fact, it's very crazy-making. So what we like to do here on Spouting Off is try to make the crazy-making, turn it inside out, and hopefully right side up again. We don't always succeed, mind you, but we do try. This has been the first time I've had the whole show to myself and just kind of flew by the seat of my pants. I love doing this show, and I love being able to share with you not only my op-eds, but what's going on. We are going to continue to follow the recalls, since I get to talk about that with one of my other hats that I wear. I'm proud to be the spokesperson, or if you will, the Sarah Huckabee Sanders of the Dismiss Polis movement and the Dismiss Polis project. If you are in Colorado, or if you know somebody in Colorado, please send them to dismisspolis.com to learn more, or go to my website. I wrote a piece about the recalls, because there's something sinister going on here with nationally backed issues like the red flag bill, like the national popular vote, which is really an end around Congress to get rid of the Electoral College and take away people's votes for president. Remember when the left talked about disenfranchisement? That's what they're about. We have to go. So it was a quick hour. And before I go, please say hello to me on my website, KarenKetteline.com, Facebook/KarenKetteline, or Twitter @KarenKetteline. Thanks to Doug and Don, my producer and all-around cheerleaders at BBS Radio, and to HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish, who just happens to be my husband. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.